always honored every year to be a part of the Joe Torre Save at Home Foundation golf event. And obviously everything has changed here in 2020. They're having a socially distant golf outing next Wednesday at Sleepy Hollow Country Club, and all the proceeds will benefit the Safe at Home programs, which has provided critical services to youth impacted by violence and abuse. And obviously the great Joe Torre founded it. Joe, as always, an honor to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Joe.
Guys, you guys are fun to be with. I mean, even when you're not working, you're working. I like that. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
No, it's great being with you. And strange times, guys. It really has been a strange time.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
How about, you know, Joe, and of course, Joe, the great Hall of Fame manager that he is, tremendous player, as everybody knows, close to Hall of Fame at Air if he wasn't. It looks like it's going to get pulled off all the way through, Joe. I mean, we had some thoughts early on. I mean, we had issues with the Cardinals. We had issues with the Marlins. We had issues with the Mets for a weekend. But here we are, and it looks like we're going to get through this 60-game season. I mean, how about that?
Well, I know I enjoy watching baseball, and, of course, it's a sprint. You know, normally, you know, you lose three or four or five games in a row, it's no big deal. You can make it up next month.
Right.
But that doesn't exist. This is a run for the roses right here, because it's been fun. I'm a little biased watching the Marlins play, and they just had that great series with Philadelphia. But they're in a lot of games. I know they got wiped out last week in that one game, but they're playing tough. So it's been fun to watch, Don Mattingly rally his troops.
No question about it. No doubt about it. For those that aren't familiar, tell us about the origins of Safe at Home and all the great accomplishments you guys have had over the last couple of decades.
Well, this was something I grew up with. My dad was abusive to my mom, and I'm the youngest of five children, 8.5 years younger than the next youngest. And I was pretty much protected by my older siblings. I did have some issues being a nervous kid, played hooky a lot because I was just nervous about going to school and had no self-esteem. Didn't even go out when I was in high school. Didn't even go out for the baseball team as a freshman because I didn't think I was good enough. And it really, when I went through my playing career, and if I didn't have a good day, I felt that I did something wrong that, was the reason we lost. It was crazy. I mean, I put myself through a lot, and I really didn't connect the dots about having those feelings and what may have caused them. Until I was in my mid-50s, actually right before I came to manage the Yankees. And went to a seminar with my wife and Allie, and we were in Cincinnati. She was pregnant with our daughter, Andrea, and we went to the self-help, and I had no clue what it was about. I just agreed to go because my wife asked me to go. And we went in there, and day two or three, because they split you up into different groups, and I wasn't in the crew, the group of my wife. And there was a speaker at this seminar. And for some reason, the conversation was, he was speaking to a group, and he just struck a nerve with me. And I got up and was crying my eyes out because he connected the dots that what was going on in my home with my dad abusing my mom and, making all the other kids very nervous and scared, basically, that they were causing these issues that I thought I was born with, and I was embarrassed for being this low self-esteem and a nervous kid, and because I thought I was born with that, and it turned out that my dad, his presence created that, and so. When we went to New York, when we came to New York for the Yankee job, Allie asked me, what charity you want to get involved with? And I said, how about domestic violence? Because I wanted to talk about it now.
Right,
I was
reluctant to talk about it
before that. And it took her, it caught her off guard. And And all of a sudden, you know, it was her idea and my older daughter, Tina, to do it through education. And so we have these safe rooms in schools. We name them after my mom, Margaret's Place. And, you know, we're in four states, actually. We're in Ohio, Jersey, New York, and California. And, you know, we've reached over 100,000 kids. We reach probably upwards of 13,000 kids
wow.
a year. And
that's
great. We know it works, and I know if there was something like that when I was growing up, it would have been a big, big benefit yep. to me. And I was just very fortunate to have the ability to play baseball where I didn't, you know, go in some other direction.
What has this pandemic done to that situation? Because you've had, you know, for months, a lot of people staying home. What kind of impact do you think that has had on this situation in this country?
Well, it's, you know, in the case of what we do, unfortunately, you know, staying at home doesn't mean you're safe at home. And it's just pretty much, you know, locked in a situation where you can't get out. But luckily, we've worked through the schools and used their portals and have been able to stay connected with a good number of our young people. And we've had the young people reach out to our counselors and stuff. In fact, one situation, we took a kid out from a dangerous situation in his home, you know, we were fortunate to be able to do that. See, what we do, we're in the school. So when the schools are on hiatus over the summer under normal conditions, we always give them a toolkit to take home with them because, you know, just because it's summertime doesn't mean that the abuse stops or the domestic violence, you know, recedes in any way. So we always, I think we had a little bit of a leg up going into this pandemic because, we've already sort of equipped to take care of kids when they're not in school. But it's a lot tougher, obviously, when everything shut down as far as our, you know, getting revenue to keep these schools going is down also. So we just need to raise money and, you know, hopefully we can get through this and get back to normal days.
Joe, how many years now for the golf tournament? I know he's been in a couple different venues. How many years now?
Oh, goodness gracious. Let me see. How many years? This is, I think, our 18th. It's our 18th. It's a smaller version, obviously, this year. And
right, right.
You know, we're not going to have all the celebrities. And I have to reach out and thank TKO Enterprises for, you know, we're going to have like a little forum afterwards. That TKO Enterprises got us Kenny Danico, you know, with the Devils, and John Starks. Everybody knows John Starks, and my catching buddy Rick Cerrone, and, you know, probably get one or two others, and just have a little bit of a fireside chat after it's over with, because you're limited on what you can do socially, which is the right thing.
Sure.
But you know, it's different. I'm glad we were able to work with Sleepy Hollow. They've been great to us, and able to, you know, have even this smaller version, because our supporters have been very loyal to us, and we certainly appreciate that.
A couple of things on this baseball season and moving forward. Will I get to see Jacob DeGrom ever hit again? Do you think the DH is here for good after being implemented here in 2020?
I don't know. It's interesting because they gave a few of these things a tryout, and probably the one thing, and I'm on the rules committee, and
right.
The 7-inning doubleheaders I thought was great, a great addition. You know, just to be able to make up the games in a short period of time, that was the only way I thought that would be successful. As far as the DH, you know, we've been bouncing that thing around for a while. And there's a plus and a minus. You know, I think there's probably more strategy involved, without the DH, and I managed under both conditions, and I found it less complicated in the American League because you didn't have to worry about when the pitcher was going to come up and hit and try to arrange things as far as, you know, bunting for a run and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it's close, and I think this is a pretty good free run at seeing what, you know, what it would be like. And I, you know, I have mixed emotions on that. I like the strategy part, guys, but I also, Chin Ming Wong, I still see him rounding third and, ending his career, basically.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and you know, because the pitchers aren't in there enough to, you know, the hit and be on base and run the bases and stuff. So I have a mixed bag on that one for myself.
Joe, how do you like the rule? I know it's only for this year, but how do you like the rule of the extra inning rule with the runner on second base?
I was in favor of that. I brought it up to the Commissioner Selig, and if he could have reached through the phone and choked me, he probably would have. but back when we had the tie game in Milwaukee,
right,
for the All-Star game, and I had suggested, I said, we should go extra innings and we should start a man at second base, but he didn't want to hear about it because that was his hometown and he was embarrassed, and, you know, for good reason, by not, you know, having a finale in that All-Star game. But, you know, I like it. I sort of favor maybe, you know, playing through one time and maybe have it in the 11th inning or 12th inning. And because I always felt that when you get into that, like, 12th inning, 13th inning, everybody's trying to hit home runs. You're running out of pitchers. You always dread that fielder coming in and pitching in the 17th inning or something. And I didn't think it did our game any favors. But the big thing for a manager sitting there, knowing everybody's trying to hit a home run and end it, that's not that easy to do. So I think with a man at second base now, the strategy, you can do what you want. You want to bunt them over. You want to let them hit. You've seen so many different things. I've seen teams, you know, bunt guys over and wind up scoring four runs. And, you know, you have others who, you know, wait for the three-run homer or whatever. But I like it, you know, for practical reasons. The minor leagues, when we put it in the minor leagues at the low A, at the A ball, they were reluctant to do it, but they fell in love with it, you know, about halfway through that season. So I, you know, even though it's, I like to believe it's still baseball because you're still trying to score a run late in the game as opposed to, you know, just laying back and trying to hit home runs. And I'm not a fan of where we are with the home runs and strikeouts and walks.
No. And you know,
so you
want to
see this forever, Joe. So you want to see this become a permanent rule in baseball?
Well, I think baseball people are liking it more so than they thought they would. And as I say, I would be in favor of keeping those long extra inning games from going on and getting ugly.
Wow. Now, I got to tell you, I hate it. I don't like it at all.
That's fine.
But what I understand,
I don't want to talk to you then if you hate it.
Joe, I actually don't mind it, Joe. I got to tell you, I don't really mind it.
But here's where I agree with you. Not about these rule changes, but we have become a sport, and I love baseball. My favorite sport, I love it, and I don't want to change it. Maybe that's part of it. Like, I don't want to change anything.
Understood.
I agree that we've become overly reliant on the home run. So I would wonder, okay, well, how do we change the mindset so that we aren't playing extra inning games where everybody's trying to hit a home run? Because, like, you're right with what you're saying. Like, I'll sit there and watch a 16 extra inning game and I'd complain about, my God, everybody's swinging for the fences. You're not wrong about that. But how do we, maybe it's not possible, you tell me, how do we change the game that way to where we aren't seeing guys try to hit home runs as much as we are? Because we're seeing less action in the sport. There's more strikeouts, there's more walks, there's more home runs, there's just less things going on. How do we change that?
I would like, well, I think it's the incentivized, team play. You know, right now you go to arbitration and they're talking about home runs and, you know, what that means to your next contract and stuff like that. You know, I'd like to be able to incentivize doing some things geared toward, you know, playing team baseball, running, get a guy over to third base, make sure you get him in from third less than two out. And whoever come up with the comment about outs are outs and strikeouts are the same as, you know, ground outs. You know, they haven't managed. And
they're wrong. I agree with you.
No, there's no question.
100%.
Yeah. So I think they have to find a way to incentivize team play. And I think a big part of it is a lot of kids are growing up with it because these travel teams where they go from town to town to show their wares, you know, they look around and they're playing with all kinds of, with different people they don't know. So they're there to audition. And I think that takes away from the game, what the game was created for. I mean, the game was created for, you know, winning and scoring runs and finding creative ways to make that happen.
Talking to the great Hall of Famer, Joe Torre. Joe, do we ever see the day? Because I tell you, I it makes me delirious. I mean, you know, I go way back, you know, watching baseball in the 60s when pitchers pitch complete games. And it makes me nuts when I see these, you know, the guys pitch five innings, six innings, guys retires 13 guys in a row, okay? But God forbid we got to take them out because it's the pitch count and we got to bring in far inferior pitchers now to the biggest innings of the game. How about that?
I agree. I mean, you know, I used to pick up, well, when there was such thing as a newspaper, to see who was pitching against us. We'd go to L.A., and unfortunately, it was Koufax and Drysdale all the time. Bob, you know, Bob Gibson, these guys, when they started the game, they expected to finish the game. And you know, you find it every once in a while now, and I know everybody gets bent out of shape when a pitcher reaches 100 pitches, but you know, there was a time when the average game would be 128, 130 pitches for a pitcher, and that's like 13, 14 pitches an inning or something like that. But, I don't like it. I think going out there and watching a well-pitched ball game is really worth the price of admission as far as I'm concerned, but it seems that we want to turn everything into a home run hitting contest.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. We're talking to Joe Torre. Should Steve Cohen have no issues kind of skating through the process of being approved by his fellow owners?
He was, if I'm not mistaken, he was in that, the Dodger thing also when they were on the market. I really don't know. I'm not that closely connected with what the owners think, but, we'll wait and see. I'd like to believe that, you know, the homework was done before, you get to this point.
Joe, you like the expanded playoffs, eight teams in each league and how that's going to play out? You like that?
Not yet. The thing concerns me, and I can understand it this year, and I look forward to it, because you got the short schedule. I think if you expand the playoffs, then you might as well reduce the number of games during the season.
No question about it. Yep.
The season means something. You know, when you win a division, and now, you know, when they added that second wild card, And they played that one game, that seventh game, just that one game to get in, you know, at least it made the wild card team earn its way to the dance. But, baseball is, that's one tradition I like to keep, is the length of the season means something, you know, where other sports, there are so many teams that get into the postseason that it sort of negates how important the season should be.
Yeah. It was interesting hearing today about this playoff schedule with no off days. I mean, that's a major change when it comes to how you handle your rotation. How would you manage that? I mean, if you have your ace and you're not planning on pitching him on 3 days rest, because we live in a world in which most guys don't do it, when would you throw him? Would you wait until the middle of the series, if in the divisional series, if you can only use him one time?
Well, I think you have to, really go on the pitcher you're talking about. Is he healthy? Can he do that and all that stuff? And if so, you pitch him first and then again later on. But, you're going to adjust your pitching staff depending on what the rules are. And so, are you going to take that extra starter now where you didn't need to do that when you had your days off and stuff? So it's, again, that's a strategy you're going to have to decide on. But, now that they're in the bubble and not traveling, I think the off day isn't, the only reason the off day was good was for traveling.
Right.
And, of course, regulating your starters and stuff like that, and even your relievers. Because, you're talking about now your reliever. I pitched Mariano 2 days, 3 days in a row, and, you want to give him a rest. But postseason, you don't get – we didn't have to worry about that because there was always an off day in there somewhere.
Joe, you look back, is it hard to believe, and it's been a while now since you managed the Yankees, but do you sometimes sit back and just reflect on the unbelievable run you had, the four championships, six World Series appearances, all the – big games you managed in and all of that. I mean, do you ever sit back and just think about that for a moment?
Are you kidding? I do now, because during this pandemic and before we had baseball, they kept reaching back and showing some old time games. And I got more nervous, I think, watching game six of 96 on television. And
wow.
I mean, the run we had, I would have sold my soul for one chance at a World Series, and that didn't even count winning the World Series. And then you find yourself in six of them, and you came close to winning five. So it's, it's amazing. I always pinch myself and be ever thankful to George Steinbrenner for trusting me with the team, this manager who had a win-loss record of, more than 100 games under 500.
It's funny. I watched a lot of those old games, especially that 96 World Series. Game five may have been one of the greatest games you'll ever see.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bring everything together here on this. I noticed watching older games that it felt like the strike zone was bigger. Do you think a part of what can help fix baseball and be less reliant on the home run ball and cutting down on walks and bringing more action to the game would actually be expanding the strike zone and making it bigger?
I don't know. I'd like to see the philosophy change. I think pitchers are trying to strike guys out from the first pitch. It used to be, you pitch to contact. They no longer pitch to contact anymore.
Right.
I look back at, and I'm the only one in the room probably remembering the 1960 World Series Game Seven, and the Yankees, what they beat Pittsburgh, seven games. I mean, the Pittsburgh won Game Seven,
right? Mazeroski.
But, what was it, 10-9 or something
yes.
like that?
Yep.
10-9, two hours and 30 minutes, and there were no strikeouts in the game.
Crazy. That is crazy.
No strikeouts.
I didn't realize that. There was no strikeouts in that Game 7?
No,
no
strikeouts.
I did not realize that. Wow.
They pitched to contact, and that's so different. It used to be you hear the announcer, like Tim McCarver would say, the best pitch in the game is strike one. That no longer exists. And that's a concern because, you got fielders out there for a reason, and we're just trying, just like the guys are trying to hit home runs, we're trying to strike them out.
Was it? Joe was a tremendous player. I was fortunate enough to see probably just about your whole career, Joe. I mean, you were a terrific player. I mean, I know you came up as a catcher with the Braves. You played third base, you played first base. You had that MVP year. You had 363 one year with the Cardinals. I think it was 363 with the Cardinals. Was it?
Yes.
Right. Is that 1971? Right. Wasn't that the year? I think it was.
Yep. Sure was.
What was it, more fun playing or managing? I mean, I know you had more success as far as winning, winning all the championships as a manager, but was it more, did you enjoy it more playing or managing?
I think managing was probably more exciting. I mean, the playing and you know, relying on your teammates and you pick each other up, all that stuff, and being, you know, loyal to your uniform and stuff like that. But the managing takes you back to where my friend Johnny and I, after school, would go down his basement and roll the dice and play a full season, you know, baseball, and you're moving people around. It was a little weird when I had my brother Frank on my team, but just the fact that you're doing it with real people. And the managing was always fascinating. It was always brand new to me, the managing part of it, because you're creating something, and it was exciting. And the fact that I get a kick out and they say, well, this manager likes to do this. Managers like to do what their players' ability allow them to do. And that was the challenge. You know, we won 4 World Series, but we did it a different way. We relied on different philosophies because of the ability of our players. And it was it was exciting to manage, and it never got old to me. And I did it for close to 30 years, and there was always something, find a way to dangle that carrot, you know, to make the players all want to pull together. That was probably the biggest challenge.
A week from tomorrow, the Joe Torre Save at Home Foundation holding a socially distant golf outing. You go to joetorre.org for more information. Always appreciate talking to you, and congratulations on all the great work you've done with the charity.
Absolutely, well, Joe. Always a pleasure, man. Stay well, okay?
You guys have been great, and I really appreciate the fans' support of our foundation. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. The great Joe Torre, the Hall of Famer, Joe Torre. Unfortunately, I think the extra inning rules are here to stay. That was the impression I got.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, man, I was very surprised how high he was. I was just basically talking about this year, and he went off on, you know, like it's going to happen forever, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I mean, it's obviously better if they
did it. I tell you what,
I
think what they should, Joe kind of alluded to it, I think what they should do is at least, you know, play 10.
Yes.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And then if you want to hit me in the 11th inning with that, you know, play through a 10th inning and then come in with the play at second base, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would try to negotiate that further down the line. I would say 16th inning we could put the guy on second base.
That's too far.
How about it not happening then?
Well, sounds like it's going to happen. I mean, I'm surprised, bro. I'm surprised that we're onto something here. He gave us a little insight into something I didn't think was even a thought, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and look, I think the 7-inning thing could happen too with doubleheaders. That wouldn't surprise me either.
Maybe it would. Maybe.
And I'm not a fan of it. The thing I definitely agree with Joe about is the way the philosophy of the game has changed and how that's impacted so many things.
No
not
question.
Just from an offensive perspective, but he brought it up too, a pitching perspective. Guys are trying to strike people out.
Yep.
As opposed to pitching to contact.
No question.
Keeping your pitch count a little bit more limited. There's also more action in the game, and maybe you can last longer in the game. It's a different world, and those philosophies have kind of led to these other things happening, which is starting pitchers not going deep into games,
right.
Guys swinging for the fences, and then the need for, hey, let's put a guy on second base in extra innings.
Right.
So it's all sort of related.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.